Grace to you and peace from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In a parable, watch out for the main point. The details indeed are important, but one can easily get so bogged down with the details that the main point can be missed. Significant here is the landowner, God, who goes forth looking for workers. They do not look for God. God must go looking for them. God is the owner of the vineyard, his church. And he goes out after the workers, and he doesn't just go out one time. He goes out at the beginning of the day. He goes out in the third hour. He goes out in the sixth hour, he goes out in the ninth hour, and he goes out in the 11th hour. He casts his net over all of the hours, all of the time, calling people into the fellowship of his vineyard, the church. He doesn't just go out one time, get a few workers, and then go back home, turn off the lights, lock the doors, and he's done. It is an ongoing thing for God. Point? Christ Jesus says of God the Father, no one is able to come to him unless my Father draws him. The term the Holy Spirit uses for draws him comes from John chapter 6, and although it is not a term used in the text this morning, it is certainly a term that is applicable to the kind of thing that is going on in the text. Dragged is the word. The Father draws him. The more literal translation from the original is dragged. Like the net full of fishes, both the good and the bad, was dragged to shore. So also, Christians, before they become Christians. Sinners, you see, actually want nothing to do with God. They don't want anything to do with God's word. They think they've got the cat by the tail here, and they have it all worked out for themselves. And that's what sin is and does. Sinners who think they have it all. Sinners who don't need to listen to the word of God. Sinners who much prefer to just stand around idle in their sins. Sinners, as someone once put it to me, sinners have an attitude. That's not a good thing. In the parable, some of the workers have a attitude. It's not an attitude of love, for love seeks not for oneself, but for others. It's not an attitude of gratitude either, praising the vineyard owner for his graciousness, his kindness. It is instead an attitude of greed. A self-centered attitude that is asking the question, what's in it for me? According to what I think is fair. Really? A sinner knows better what's fair than God. And grumbling. Israel grumbled in the wilderness. We don't have any water. We're in a wilderness. That's what a wilderness is. Wilderness, desert. Doesn't mean hot. It means no water. And God brought them out there to that place. And what did they do? They grumble. Who do they grumble at? Moses! Moses, you no good. You ought to be stoned. Moses, you brought us out here to die, you and your God. Sinners know better, can provide better than God. The workers in the parable in Matthew chapter 20 grumble about their wages. Grumbling is indicative of unbelief. Grumbling thinks it ought to be God. Obviously, the one with the attitude has a far better sense of fairness and a far better sense of reward and wages than Moses, or his God. Grumbling, the attitude, always forgets the wages of sin is death. But what of it? Where an attitude is present. Sinners prefer to look within themselves for answers. Sinners prefer to get themselves right with God all by themselves, so they can stand up and face God on their own, stand before God proud of who they are, proud of their accomplishments, proud that they have worked all of the hours of the day that they worked, far more than those who came in later. Truth be told, that's the attitude of sin. That's the picture of those standing around idle all day. Sinners. Sinners who run from God. They don't want anything to do with God. They don't want anything to do with God's word. They don't spend time in God's word. They have no idea of what Christianity is even, because they don't have any use for it. They don't have any need for it. They're grumblers and they have an attitude. And so they run from God and they hide from God and they cover up themselves before God, or they think they do, and they are good at blame. Moses! Like Adam did in the garden, so do sinners. Dear friends in Christ, you are not an exception. Guess what? Neither am I. God sought out Adam. And so God still seeks workers in his vineyard. That is, people like you and me. Sinners who are in desperate need of redemption and have to be dragged, lest they be standing around idle all day. And our Lord casts his net over them and drags them to himself and gives them a place, a job in the vineyard. He came to do that, to redeem and to save. You see, how would people ever know God unless God came for them? How ever would reclusive, scared to death of God and his word sinners ever know of this great eternal love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that motivated him to send his son into the world so that they might be redeemed? How would you have ever found out about it unless someone brought you, dragged you to the waters of holy baptism, dragged you to church, brought you there even though you didn't want to go, but brought you there so you could hear the great love of God for you, shown to you, given to you in his son Jesus? How? This offer of the owner of the vineyard, God, this offer to the workers to go into the holy vineyard, his church, that is to bear fruit. It is none other than the Father's powerful tugging of dragging sinners unto himself through the preaching of the word and the administering of the sacraments, so that by those precious means of grace, the love of God might be poured into your hearts, that his great love to you and to me and to all sinners would bear fruit. What is the fruit? Faith in your Lord Jesus Christ. That's the love of God. It isn't that somehow God needs us to work in his vineyard, that he wouldn't get anything done without you or me working in the vineyard, or even that something would be missing if he didn't bring us into his church. But God doesn't need us. We need God. And standing around in your sins idle all day, you will die in your sins. But God's love is greater than that. In mercy, God acted for you and for me and for the world in his Son at the cross at Golgotha, bleeding and dying your sins and mine away from us, counting your faith as righteousness, so that you can stand before God in the righteousness of Christ through faith, with the works of love flowing out of your faith, which God counts to you as righteous works. Well done, good and faithful servant. Where is this for you? Where does God call you? In God's word. By his absolution, which you received this morning, in preaching, in the sacraments. And where are those? In the vineyard, the church of the living God. It's all there in that seemingly tiny denarius coin, a day's wage of those times, of that age. A denarius for you that wells up to eternal life through faith that comes to you by hearing the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus. What's the main point of the parable? The parable then is directed against spiritual haughtiness and pride that believes it is better and more fair than God himself, whose works deserve more than just what the day's wage agreed for was. I bore the heat of the day. I deserve more. What about it? This isn't fair. Whoever seeks reward from God in that manner, or because of his good standing, or because of his works, does not serve God. That one, still standing around idle. Holy Spirit, through the mouth of his servant King David in the king's prayer at the offerings he had assembled for the building of the Jerusalem temple, the king prayed this way: But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you, O Lord our God. All this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. Nothing is to sinners except your sin. And even all the righteousness the sinner feels that he does is only filthy rags and merits him nothing. God does not look at the size or greatness or the amount of the works, because God is already pleased with you in his Son Jesus. The eyes of God are in the simplicity and humility of the believing heart The heart that clings to Jesus, Jesus, his word, his promises for you. Thanks be to God, in Jesus' name. Amen.